This is The Takeaway. I'm John Huckenberry. Thanks so much for listening. In this hour, we're going to take you, in a sense, inside those bloody events recounted there in the newscast, events unfolding now in North Africa. The bloody terrorist attack on that gas facility in Algeria and the taking of hostages.
This incident will be resolved, we hope, with a minimum loss of life. But when you deal with these relentless terrorists, life is not in any way precious to them.
Secretary of State Hillary Clinton there. There's also the insurgency in Mali, where the French have intervened with troops and planes. These two events together raise the specter of an episode in history that dominated the world's attention in the years after World War II.
The world was shocked by one of the bloodiest episodes in Algeria's grim and bitter 31-month-old struggle between France and Muslim nationalists seeking independence. This is Melouza, a small native community after the raid in which every male over 15 was lined up en masse before rebel firing squads.
Algeria's War of Independence, recounted there in that newsreel back in 1954, was one of the bloodiest colonial wars of the 20th century. The French conceded defeat 8 years later, but at a cost of around 500,000 lives, many of those lives lost in atrocities on both sides. The current terrorist insurgents, Al-Qaeda in the Islamic Maghreb, are on some level children of the Algerian independence movement. They've been around for decades, are believed responsible for numerous atrocities in Algeria during the 90s, as well as the attacks on Mali. This is hardly the first time they have taken Western hostages. Our next guest knows what it is like to be in the clutches of these insurgents. He also knows well the historical narratives that are driving events today. In 2008, Ambassador Robert Fowler was held hostage by Al-Qaeda in the Islamic Maghreb for more than 4 months. Mokhtar Belmokhtar, the man widely suspected of leading this latest hostage situation, also was responsible in Fowler's long kidnapping. He served as Canada's ambassador to the UN from 1995 to 2000 as the author of the book, A Season in Hell, My 130 Days in the Sahara with Al-Qaeda. Ambassador Fowler, welcome.
Thank you very much, John. It's good to be here.
We should note that you were Canada's ambassador to the UN, just so people get that clear. I'm really curious about your insights into what's going on in North Africa right now. And you see this through two lenses, as a literal hostage and also as a longtime observer of the region.
Well, that's true, John. Now I'm 4 years out of date in that the events you're talking about took place between December 08 and April 09. But I have been following them closely. And of late, of course, they have been rather dramatic.
What would you say of the morale and the sense of mission of the Al-Qaeda and the Maghreb group?
Well, probably their sense of purpose, their sense of focus is about as acute as any I've seen in my life. The group that held my colleague Louis Gay and I numbered about 30, aged from 14 to 47. They were dressed in rags. We lived in the middle, almost the geographic center of the Sahara. There were no buildings. There were no tents. People slept in the sand. It was above 125, 130 degrees in the day and down not much above zero in the evening, or sorry, 32 in Fahrenheit terms. These guys were armed with sort of 1960s Soviet vintage weaponry, AK-47s, and the whole Kalashnikov family. They took great care of their weapons. There's a huge debate among securocrats about whether these guys are, on the one hand, bandits flying a flag of Islamic convenience, or perhaps latter-day Robin Hoods doing banditry to nourish the cause. You still hear a lot of suggestions that it's the former, but from my observation over those nearly 5 months, there is no doubt it's the latter. The perpetrator of these horrible events in Algeria as we speak, Mokhtar Belmokhtar, who was also my captor, is known on the internet among many other names as Monsieur Marlborough, referring to his background as a deemed smuggler. He also was the sort of Al-Qaeda quartermaster general, and he supplied them with arms, and he is alleged to sort of tax everything that goes through the Sahara, people, guns, drugs, cigarettes, anything going. But certainly I never saw any, how shall I put it, conspicuous spending. There was no evidence that of wealth on the part of my captors, or indeed any suggestion that wealth was what they were interested in.
Would you say this revolutionary movement has, in its beginnings, what went on in the 50s between France and the Algerian insurgency in the 1950s? And can you see echoes of that time in the fact that France is, at least in the initial going, bogged down in Mali right now?
Frankly, John, I see a lot of echoes of what you've just said in the government of Algeria's attitude to everything that goes on in the region, and very particularly to what is happening in Mali right now. I see less of a connection between the struggle for independence in Algeria and the Salafist movement, or particularly the motivation of al-Qaeda in the Islamic Maghreb. That the my captors, the people who did this thing at the natural gas plant near the Libyan border in Algeria, and I gather it's still to some extent ongoing, those people are absolutely fundamental Islamists. They're known as Salafists. They believe absolutely literally in the holy texts. That is, they live in a historical bubble that is 1,400 years old. They are the direct result of Wahhabi teaching coming out of Saudi Arabia and the Gulf, and being spread, proselytized across the world, but very, very much across Africa. In 1992, as a result of many of our governments, and I was partly involved in some of this, urging the government of Algeria to try democracy, they finally agreed to do so. They held elections in 1992. The military-dominated government sort of stepping slightly aside. And in they do it the way the French do in two rounds of elections. And after the first round, it was absolutely clear that the Salafists, that the fundamentalists, were going to clean up in the election. And the army stepped very quickly back in and took control again. And that situation hasn't much changed today. However, the people who almost won, the Islamists, were they had come so close, they felt, that they could not accept being pushed aside again. So they got the gun and they began what is sometimes called the Algerian Civil War. I think the Algerians would like us to believe that it was something that lasted for 10 years, and I will argue it is still ongoing. But in that war, since 1992, something close to 200,000 people have been killed.
Extraordinary.
And what's happening today is very much part of that.
Well, we can only hope that you are here to speak to me, can give hope to the individuals who are worrying about their hostages in Algeria right now. Robert Faller was held hostage by al-Qaeda in the Islamic Maghreb for 130 days. He was Canada's former ambassador to the United Nations between 1995 and 2000, author of the book My Season in Hell, or A Season in Hell, My 130 Days in the Sahara with al-Qaeda. Ambassador, thank you so much.
Not a bit, John. It was a pleasure.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.